All right, Rabbi, say good morning. I realized yesterday I forgot to say the Hachron Alach HaMocher Asasino. Now it's official. So now we're going to begin in Meretz Hashem, new perek, on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, Mamish, a beautiful, beautiful new perek. And we're going to speak about, again, some of the laws, specifically, again, regarding Mekach Tos. Ultimately, again, when a sale is upheld, when a sale is not upheld. So we're going to begin. Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, top of the blot. Hamocher Peros Lechavero. Someone goes ahead and sells fruit to his friend. Now look at the Rashbam. Hamocher Peros, Stam. Below Piresh in Lizria im La'achila. So we'll say in this case over here, a person is selling peros to his friend, and he did not define whether or not those peros are for zria, are for sowing, actually for planting, or for consumption. So we'll say, so again, what we're going to get into over here are a series of different cases where a person is buying something, and on a technical level, sometimes that min, that type, is used for planting, sometimes it's used for consumption. Now obviously, we'll say the quality of an item used for planting versus quality of an item used for consumption are going to be dramatically different. In this case over here, I'm selling fruit to Reuven. Now, Reuven did not indicate whether or not he's purchasing this for the purpose of planting, or he's purchasing it for the purpose of consumption. What happens? Zoron, he goes and he plants them, falot samchu. And Rabbo say they did not go ahead and sprout. So it turns out that what? It turns out Rabbo say that Lamaisa, again, he really planted it. He really bought it for the purpose of planting. But it turned out that I sold him consumption fruit and not plant food. Rabbo say, now that getting into the technicality, like, how do you know that it didn't sprout because it was a problem with the seed? Right? Maybe it was a problem. So, leaving that piece aside, let's say it's clear that the reason the plant did not
germinate,
right? Flourish or grow was because, again, lemaisa was the wrong type. It just was the wrong sug of fruit. Or furthermore, again, va'afilu, look at the Rashbam. Actually, don't look at the Rashbam yet. He goes on, he says, va'afilu zera pishtan. And I will say, this is true even if lemaisa, again, it was zera pishtan. I will say, zera pishtan is flaxseed. Now, in the normal circumstances, flaxseed is almost always sold for the purpose of planting, not for the purpose of consumption. So in this case over here, remember, Reuven's coming back to me and saying, listen, Silber, the seed didn't work. I bought these seed for planting, not for consumption. And I say back to Reuven, well, you know, I didn't know. I thought you were buying it for consumption. What's talach on these cases? Eino chayiv ba'achra yusam. It was at the end of the day, in all of these cases, I, the seller, am not chayiv, ultimately, again, for a mekachtos. I am not chayiv, Rabosai, to replace the seeds. Again, we'll discuss the mechanics of this case, but lamais, in this situation, where the purchase was stam, the purchase was not specifically made for the purpose of consumption versus planting, and I clearly sold him consumption seeds. Reuven wanted to be able to use planting seeds. He can't come back to me with a claim of mekachtos. I have no achrayis. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Zer'une gina she'inan ne'achalon chayi b'achrayusam. Reb Shimon Gamliel, however, says the following, that when it comes to both sides, to garden seeds, if you take a look at Rashi, it's Rashi below Tzamchu, but it's the last few lines of that Rashi. Aval zirune gino, kigon zera kruv v'kaflut, she'enon ne'achal klal, chayiv ba'ach riyusan. Shem Shemeng Amil Omer zirune gino. So we'll say, so we will see what this means in the Gemara, but for now the Mishnah is giving me a different category of zirune gino. So zirune gino means garden seeds. Garden seeds, Rabbi say, ultimately, again, she'inon ne'achalin, that are not fit for consumption, chayiv ba'achri yusan. Ultimately, again, the purchaser could claim mekachto. So we'll say, we'll have to see exactly in the Gemara what this particular case is. But again, what seems to be coming out of the Mishnah is the following. That if Reuven purchases seeds, and he does not explicitly articulate why he's purchasing those seeds, and then what happens? The intended reason for his purchase does not materialize. So for example, I sold him consumption seeds or consumption produce. He wanted planting produce. Now again, he never said anything to me. He can't come back to me and claim mekachtos because he did not get what he wanted from the purchase. Okay, so we'll say, so we're going to analyze this. Itmar. So we'll say the Gemara now analyzes. Is this? What do we analyze? Hamocher shor lechavero. Let's say that we've actually had this case before. I sell ishar to my friend Reuven. And what happens? V'nimtza nagchon. So we'll say one little detail, right? That the, I guess it's like, you know, whatever the ox equivalent of CarMax is, you know, something like that. You know, the Carfax, when you get through. Carfax, good. Right? So what happens? So I went ahead, I sold the shore to Reuven. One little issue that I didn't disclose was what? That the shore happens to be a Naghon. It's a goring ox. So Reuven finds this out, and what's Reuven's reaction? Reuven's reaction is, I want my money back. Take a look at the Rashbam. V'nimtza shahaya nagchon. It's like in the intermediate wide lines, about five lines in. V'nimtza shahaya nagchon. Kodem mechira. In other words, when he sold it to me, it was a nagchon. He says, ve'in ro'i ela l'shchita. Now, we'll say, what can you do with an ox that is a nagchon? What can you do with a goring ox? Well, you can't maintain it. So let's go back for just a moment. There are two primary purposes for oxen. Right, plowing and consumption. Now, we will see that plowing was really the primary use of oxen, because again, that's how you maximize your investment. But we're leaving that aside for now. So the mice again, I sell the ox to Reuven. I did not disclose that it was a nagchon already from before the sale. Reuven gets it, and now essentially only thing that ox is usable for is shechita. Because remember again, for Reuven to go ahead and maintain a nagchon ox is not a good idea, because the liability on that is quite steep. So the shaila now is, can Reuven come back now and claim mekach tos, claim a flawed or fraudulent sale based on the fact that I did not disclose this information? So Rav Amar Hareze Mekachtos. So Rav says it's a Mekachtos. Rav says absolutely, Reuven has the ability to come back to me and void this sale. Look at the Rashbam. Mekachtos. Kiyayin v'nim tzachomets. Rav says this is no different than if you purchased wine and it turned out to be vinegar. So we'll see Rav's logic just in a little bit. Shmuel could say, no, Reuven does not have a claim on mechachtos. Why? Because I, the seller, could say, listen, I sold you for shechita purposes. In other words, you never told me why you were purchasing this ox. So I just made the general assumption that you are purchasing this for consumption purposes, and therefore you have no right to claim mekachtos. Now, we'll say, now again, what's clear in all of these cases, bless you, is that when the purchaser goes ahead and clearly indicates why he's buying the ox, meaning even Shmuel would agree, if Reuven says, Silver, I'd like to buy your ox for the purpose of plowing my field, then what? Then we'll say, if it turns out that the ox is a nagchon, then of course even Shmuel would agree to claim mekachos. The difference over here is that Reuven never indicated to me why he's buying the ox. So Rav says mekachos, Shmuel says, no, I, the seller, have the ability to claim. It's not a mekachos. You still have the ability to use it for shechita. So as I say, watch this, let's analyze this. This is very exciting. So let's look at this. I gavra dizabin linechasta. Raja. So I'll say, the first thing the Gemara says is, well, why don't we look at the buying habits of Reuven? Right? What kind of guy is Reuven? Is Reuven normally a guy who buys oxen for shechita? Then we have circumstantial evidence to support the idea that he bought this for shechita. And if he's a guy who normally buys oxen for the purposes of plowing, then what? Then lemaisa, we can make the circumstantial assumption that he bought it for plowing. And meaning, what the Gemara is saying over here is, let's see circumstantially why he bought the ox, and then we could figure out if it's a mekachtos or not. If he's a guy who normally goes ahead and purchases it for shechita, then he can't claim mekachtos. If he normally purchases it for plowing, then he can't claim mekachtos. And we'll say, now the assumption over here is that I, the seller, would also know what Reuven's habits are. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Gagavra dezabin lahachi lahachi. He'll say, what's the case? The case is a guy who what? Buys for both. Meaning historically, he's bought oxen for shechita as well as for plowing. So says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. But let's say, dami hechi ninu. Oh, so we'll say, now the Gemara says something very, very, very sharp. Why don't we look at how much money was spent? See, they both say, the Gemara makes the automatic assumption, what's more expensive, an ox for plowing or an ox for shechita? For plowing. Right, clearly for plowing. A work animal is always going to be more expensive than a consumption animal. For the simple reason that the return on investment, meaning obviously you're gaining a lot from the work animal versus the consumption, which is a one-time thing. Says the Gemara, forget about historical buying habits. Why don't we look at how much Reuven paid? And Bepashtos, based on how much he paid, will tell us the purpose for which he purchased the animal. To which the Gemara says, Lo itzricha di'iyaker bisra v'kam b'demei raja. So we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where the price of meat went up. The price of meat went up, and therefore, what's Rabbi saying? An animal for consumption is just as expensive as an animal, a work animal. Look at the Rashbam, Tiyakir Bisra, Velekar Damim Modiim. Therefore, Rabbi saying the price tag on the animal does not tell you the purpose for which Reuven bought it. The Iker Degaris Dizal Raja, the Kam Kibisa. Rashbam says another Girsa is that the price of work animals went down and is the same price as meat. So Rashbam says it doesn't matter. Meaning, whether meat went up in value or work animals went down in value, whatever the metzias is, the point is what? The same price. The point is the same price. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. And therefore, you can't go ahead and tell, based on the price, ultimately, again, what the purpose of the purchase was. Ihachi lemay nafkamina. So what's this? Now the Gemara says something very interesting. So let me get this straight. Meaning, if at the end of the day, the price is the same, right? At the end of the day, the price is the same, so lemaisa, what is the big deal over here? Look at the Rashbam. Lemay nafkamina, plug the Rabbi Shmuel me'achar sheshave yafa mashnas. So let's play this out for just a moment. I sell Reuven an animal, right? It turns out the animal is a nagchon. So therefore, the only thing the animal is fit for is what? Ishchita. Reuven wants to claim mekach tolos. Why? Why? Because lemaisa claims he bought it for the purpose of working. So he wants to claim mekach tolos. Says, I don't understand. If both a shechita animal as well as a consumption animal are worth the same amount of money, then why does Reuven need to claim mekach tos? What does he need to do?
Sell it,
because the value is the same. Meaning, let him sell the animal to someone who what? Wants to use it for shechita, but that's okay. Because right now the value of a shechita animal is the same as the value of a work animal. Take the money and what? Buy your work animal. What's the big deal over here? To which he wants to say, I'll tell you why. Letircha. I will say, there's an interesting thing here called tircha. What's tircha? Tircha means the effort involved. Oh, sure, I, Reuven, could go sell the animal. I could do that if I wanted to. But lemaisa, again, there's tircha involved in that. I have to go, first of all, I have to watch the animal. That's number one. Number two, I have to locate a purchaser. Number two, there's a purchaser. There's all the different pieces involved in the sale of an animal. Take a look at the Rashbam, Letircha. Torach Mechiras Hashar. There is the effort involved in going ahead and selling the shor. L'shachto v'limkar abasar. So it's interesting. The Rashbam over here has it as, not that I'm going to sell the animal, but that Reuven's going to shecht it and have to sell off the meat. Why does the Rashbam set it up there? Because it could very well be that Reuven himself does not want to maintain a nagchan animal. So it could be that what Reuven's going to do is he's going to shecht it right now, but then he has to go through the tircha of selling off the meat. So whatever it is, whether he's going to sell the animal or whether he's going to shecht it and sell the meat, the point over here is there is the tircha. So Rav says that lamaisa, Reuven has the right to say mekach tos. We'll say, what does mekach tos allow him to do? Just give me back the animal. Mekach tos allows him to wash his hands of this, and this is not my problem. It's not my problem. Here's your animal. Give me back my money. I'm happy you're not going to have a loss because you can sell the animal for the same amount, but I'm not dealing with this problem. So Gemara says, Hechi Dami. So what? Let's again. So we'll say, see here. So understand what we have so far. So we have over here. So we're trying to figure out what is the metzias of this case. I've sold Reuven an animal. It turns out the animal is a goring animal. Reuven does not want this animal because he wants a work animal. This animal is only fit for shechita. Rav says he can claim mekach tos. Shmuel says he can't claim mekach tos because I, the seller, could say it's fit for shechita. I didn't sell you something that's not fit for anything. All right, I didn't know you were using it for a work animal, but it's not a mekach tos. So let's say, so now we've established a number of different pieces to this case. Number one, the prices are the same, right? Number two, this is an individual whose buying habits are not clear because he buys oxen for all type of purposes. So says Dimar, well, let's go one step further. Now what you're telling me is the value of a work animal and shechita animal are the same. So, hey Chidami, what's the case? So we'll say, what's the case if I, the seller, if I don't have money, so we'll say, let's say Reuven comes back to me, and Reuven wants to say, I want my money back. I want my money back. Mekach tos. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. If at the end of the day, I, the seller, don't have money to pay back Reuven, then le'akev tura bizuze. So I will say, obviously, it is in Reuven's best interest to hold on to the ox. Take a look at the Rashi for just a moment. Idaleko, ma'os mitsuyos lamocher lishtalume lokeach mine, democher, amai amarav harizem mekachtos, yaksura shorli akiv turat zobuzuze. So let's listen to this. So according to Rav, who says that in this case, the purchaser can claim mekachtos, because he's claiming he wanted an ox for working purposes, and I sold him an ox that could only be shechted. So what's the case? If I, the seller, don't have money, then I both say it's in the purchaser's best interest to what? To what? Hold on to the ox. Right? Why? The Gemara has an interesting adage, because everyone knows the famous saying, Min Mari Rishuseich Pa'ari Afra. Everyone knows, or Pari Afara. Everyone knows the famous adage that when someone owes you money, better to even accept bran as payment. Bran. What does that mean? That when somebody owes you money, essentially, take what you can get. Something is better than nothing, because if you wait to get repayment from the in the form that you want, you may what? You may end up not getting anything. So says the Gemara, well, what's the case over here? If the seller doesn't have any money, I will say, then even according to Rav, who's claiming Mekachtos, it's in the best interest of the purchaser to hold on to this ox. To which the Gemara says, Lotzricha, de'ika lishtalume mine. So we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is where the seller does in fact have money. So we'll say, so now Reuven's coming, I've sold Reuven the ox, he's claiming Mekachtos because it's a shor nagchon. He bought it for the purposes of working the field. He comes to me, he wants to claim Mekachtos. I have money. I have money. Right? So I have money to be able to pay him back. So says the Gemara, Rav Amar, Harez Mekachtos. So we'll say, so Rav says it's a Mekachtos. Now, where does Rav get this idea? Meaning, what does that mean, it's a Mekachtos? Basar Ruba Azlinon. I will say, here is Rav's Svara. Rav says, when determining the nature or the intent of this sale, in the absence of explicitly articulated intentions, also, which is what this case is, I'm selling Reuven an ox. Reuven never told me why he is purchasing this ox. So in the absence of Reuven's explicitly articulated intentions for the purchase, Rav says we follow the rov. And Veruba Larajazvini. Both sides, the majority of people who purchase oxen for farming purposes. And therefore, again, Rav says, even when Reuven says nothing, we go bust or the rov, we go after the majority. Majority of people purchase the oxen for farming purposes. And therefore, what? In this case, when it turns out that the shor is a shor nagchon, so Reuven has the right to claim mekachtos, come back to me, and ultimately get his money back. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel will say to you, Amar lacha, ki azina basa ruba, when do we go after the rov? Bi isura. We'll say, so Shmuel says something amazing. Shmuel says the only time we go after the rov is when, in a case of Isser, b'mamona, but in monetary law, lo. We'll say we do not follow the rov. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. B'isura, kigon teisha chanuyos mochros basra shchuta, va'achas mocheres basra nevela, tamrina b'nimtza lach achara. So we'll say the paradigmatic case the Gemara often gives is I'm in a city, 9 stores sell kosher meat, 1 store sells non-kosher meat. I find a nice piece of meat on the street, right? So what's the halacha? Could I eat it or not? And the halacha is, yes, you can, right? Ultimately, again, because we go after the rov. So Shmuel says, when do we say rov? We say rov in matters of iser. B'mamona, when it comes to monetary matters, lo azlina basaruba, el Rashi, el achar hamuchzak, im yeshlo shum taima. Rather, I will say, ultimately, again, When it comes to money, monetary law is governed by one overriding principle, which is whoever has the chazaka, I will say, whoever's muchzak has the upper hand, which is another way of saying, hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. That he who has the money is one who is considered to be the muchzak, and he who wants to extract the money has the burden of proof. Therefore, I will say, in this case over here, the machlokes will play out the following way. So I sell Reuven an ox. It turns out that the ox is a nagchon, it's a goring ox. Reuven claims mekach toz because he wanted to purchase this ox for the purpose of farming. I claim, listen, you never told me why you were purchasing this ox, so I assumed that you were purchasing it for the purpose of shechita. Therefore, again, there's no mekach toz. What's the halacha? Rav says Reuven has the right to claim mekach toz and get back his money. Why, Rabosai? Because Rav says we go after the rov, and the majority of people purchase oxen for the purpose of farming. Therefore, because of the rov, again, Rabosai, in the absence of explicitly articulated reason for the purchase, we go after the rov. The rov is on Reuven's side. Reuven has the right to claim mekach toz and get back his money. Shmuel says, no, we only say rov in cases of Isser. We don't say rov in Mamo. We don't go after the majority when it comes to monetary law. So what is the overarching principle of monetary law? Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. He who is muchsak has the upper hand. We'll say, who's muchsak in this case? Me. Right? Me, the purchaser, because I have the money. The seller, because I have the money. So if Reuven wants to extract his money back from me, that's fine, but the burden of proof is upon you to show that somehow I should have known when I sold it to you that you were purchasing it for the purpose of farming. Therefore, because I am the muhsak, I have the money, the burden of proof is upon Reuven. So both say, famous Gemara, that's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to go back and forth with a number of brisos to try to see who is correct. So may say, the Gemara is Akasha. Ha'isha shenes almana ones yarsha. But say if a woman was widowed or she was divorced. Vihi omeres besula nisesi. Now we'll say, now the Kiyus over here, if you look at the Rashbam, he says, Besulan, he says, Ha'isha shenis armelo, v'to'enes avarati ksuvasi. So we'll say, the Kiyus over here, she wants to collect her ksuva. She's just been widowed or divorced. She wants to collect her ksuva. The problem over here, we'll say, is that what? She doesn't have the document. Either she doesn't have the document because she lost it, or she doesn't have the document because, as remember from our ksuvas days, there were communities where they did not write ksuvos. They just didn't write the documents. So Lamaisa, again, Lamaisa, she comes to collect her full ksuva. V'hu Omer, so she's claiming that when she got married, she was a basula, and therefore she has a ksuva that is worth 200 zuz. V'hu, excuse me, Onis Kasha, V'hu Omeres, basula nisesi. So she claims, I was a basula when I got married, and therefore again, either ex-husband or estate, you owe me 200 zuz. V'hu Omer, he claims, now both say now, whoever the he is, right, whether the he is the ex-husband or the he is the estate, he says, lo ki ela almana nisaseich. He says, no, when I marry you, this was a second marriage. You were not a basula, right? I married you as an almana, I married you as a gush, whatever the messias is, and therefore your ksuva is only what? Is only 100 zuz. So she's claiming a ksuva of 100 zuz. He's claiming I only married you when you were an almana or a grusha, and therefore I only owe you 100 zuz. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So it says the Gemara, im yesh edim sheyatza behinuma berosha parua. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, if there are witnesses that when she got married, right, when this woman got married to either this current ex-husband or to this current dead husband, so when she married him, she went out behinuma. And we'll say, hinuma is a veil, and verosha parua, her hair was uncovered. Now look at the Rashba for just a moment. Behinuma kalsa diminamnima kalsa. So this is interesting. They called this hinuma, this hinuma, interestingly enough, was a very thick veil. Now they call it a hinuma because sometimes it was so thick the kala couldn't see out of it. So she would end up dozing, right? You know, she would end up falling asleep a little bit. It's like from Lashon of Misnam name. From Lashon ultimately, again, of daydreaming a little bit. So it's interesting, I will say. Again, in certain circles, they still use thick veils like this. So apparently, again, this seems to be based on Talmudic practice. So he says, Shiatzabi Hinuma, Verosha Paro, and her hair was uncovered. I will say, so again, if a single woman was getting married, so the custom was her hair was down and uncovered. So if there's edus that she went out with this veil and her hair was uncovered and down, then that indicates that what? That she was a basula when she got married, and therefore again, ksuva samasayim, she'll be entitled to a ksuva of 200 zuz. So she could produce this edus that in fact this was her first marriage. Enoch inami, she'll get the 200 zuz. To which the Gemara says, "Taima de'ika edim." So what you're telling me is the only reason she will get the 200, or the only way in which she'll get the 200 zuz is halabos, say, if she's able to produce witnesses. Haleka edim lo. But if she can't produce witnesses, then what? Then lamaisa again, she does not get the 200 zuz. At most, what she'll get is what? The 100 zuz that either the husband or the estate is admitting to. Va'amai. But why is that so? But why is this meaning? Why does she need edos? Leiba halach achar rov hanoshim. The rov hanoshim besulos nisos. So the Gemara makes the interesting question: why don't you go after the rov? And what does rov say? Rov says that the majority of women get married as besulos. In other words, at least from the Gemara, the majority of marriages were first-time marriages. The majority of marriages where the kala was a basula. So why don't we go after the rov? Meaning, why do I need edus? I was supposed to remember again, according to what Rav said before, Rav said in a case where I sold the Nagchon Shor to Ruvain, Ruvain could claim Mekach Taos. Why? Because the majority of people who purchase oxen for plowing purposes. In this case over here, where the ex-wife or widow, claims 200 zuz, even if she can't produce edos, that she went out again with the veil with her hair down, let her go after the rov. And the majority of weddings are first-time weddings. Amravina mishum de'ika lemeima rov noshem besulos nisos. So Ravina says the following, because even though you're right, that the majority of women who get married, majority of marriages are first-time marriages, where the kala is a basula, umiut almanos. But yet again, ultimately again, there is still a miut. The Rebbe said, and what we'll see is, we're going to discuss this a little bit more in depth. The Rebbe said, there are different ways of looking at rov. There is a rov with what's called a miut hamatsui, or a miut she'im matsui. In other words, rov by definition means majority. Majority by definition means what? That there's also a minority. So the shot that we're going to see is there are different kinds of minorities. There's what's called the miut hamatsui, which is a sizable minority, or there are insignificant minorities. So Ravina said like this, you're right. There is the majority of women who get married, there's no shayla, are ultimately besulos nisos. Umiut amanos. But there is a miut, ultimately again, a significant miut, of second marriages as well. Listen to this. Now, Bosai says, Ravina, there's another compounding factor. Now, Bosai, generally, for first-time weddings, there's a kol. There's a kol, meaning there's a greater, people are talking about it. It's great, it's known. Look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Isla yesh lakol, mitok shi yesh simcha, b'nesue besula, niskarim ba b'nei adam. Which I will say, you know what the Gemara is saying on a very simple level? Is that often, first marriages tend to be bigger affairs than second marriages. And therefore, again, by definition, first marriages have a greater kol. Vizu, I'm also listening to this. So follow Ravina's train of thought. Yes, Ravina will agree. There is a rove that says that what? I told you, it's very exciting. There's a rove that says that what? That most marriages are what, Rabosai? Right, so you got to get into this. This is mamash like a real sugi. Like this is brand new parak, brand new beginnings. Get another cup of coffee. So again, remember again, so Ravina says that rove are first marriages. There's a miut ultimately again of what? Of second marriages. But here's the thing. Those rove of first marriages also have a call. Meaning people know about that. People know. Let's see, you see this all the time. Right? Yeah, it's always beautiful to see him. Oh, I remember your wedding. Right? Oh, I remember, right? You hear this, oh, I was at your wedding. You hear this, it's amazing. People remember this, you know, decades later. That's the Gemara is referring to over here. First, especially first weddings, have a call. So here's what it says, here's the issue. Vizu, in this case, hoil ve'in la kol, isra la rupa. Oh, we'll say, watch this. Very exciting. Says, you know, what's the problem with this woman over here? So remember again, this lady, we'll just call her Rachel. Rachel's coming along and claiming again, I'm Odeksuva, my husband died, let's keep it died, let's keep that easy. Right? I mean, not easy, I don't mean it like that, but you know, that's simpler. Husband died, she's a widow, she's claiming, he died. She's coming to the estate claiming her Ksuva, she doesn't have a document. So what does the estate say? You were married to our father. It was a second marriage. It wasn't a first marriage. So we'll say, she's claiming, no, it was a first marriage. I'm owed 200 zuz. They want to pay her 100. She's claiming 200. So what happens? So what happens, Rabbi Elazar? So now we're saying over here, well, she could claim, I have a rov. The rov says that what? The rov says that the majority of marriages are first-time marriages. To which Rabbi Elazar, Ravina says, she's got a good point, except for two things. Number one, there is a miut. And that's what's called, we'll get into this later, a significant miut. That miut is a sizable number of marriages that are also second or third and so on and so forth marriages. But here's the other issue. First-time marriages have a cull. There's a people know about it. The fact that no one could remembers your wedding means a number of different things, right? But right, for our purposes, right? For our purposes is what? For our purposes means there's something wrong with your rove then. The fact that there's no kol surrounding your wedding detracts or undermines from your rove. So says Ravina, in this case, although she has technically a rove, it's a compromised rove because there is no kol. So says the Gemara, Vezu, ho ve'in la kol, Israel ruba. So the Gemara says, "I call hanisos besulos yeshlan kol." So says the Gemara, "I don't understand. If that's the case, that whenever there is a first time marriage, whenever a besula gets married, there's a kol. If that's the case, ki ika idim mayhavi." I will say. So then, the ability to go ahead and rely on the rov should require a kol. Therefore, even if there are witnesses, Rabbi say, ki ika idim mayhavi midales la kol. Sahadi shakrin inhu. So what's I say? The Gemara takes Ravina's approach to an incredible extreme, which is, so if you're telling me that every single first marriage always has a kol, then Abosai, so says the Gemara, if that's the case, then even if she produces edus that it was a first time marriage to her now deceased husband, if there's not a kol associated with that wedding, we should say what? That the edim are edim shakar. Then obviously they're lying. Because if they were correct, if they were truly testifying about something that was legitimate, then what? There should be a call about this first marriage. Rather says the Gemara, no, that to that extreme we're not going to go. El rov hanisos besulos yesh lahen kol. Rather, we'll say what we say is the following: rov besulos, rov hanisos besulos yesh lahen kol. We'll say what we're saying is now is two roves that are really rolled into one. What are the two roves that are rolled into one? The majority of marriages are first-time marriages. And the majority of marriages have a kol. Which I will say, we are recognizing that what? That there are two miuts. What's the two miuts? Miut number one is that there's a miut of second or third marriages, whatever the number. And there's also a miut of what? Of first-time marriages that what? That don't have a kol. So meaning, we're accepting the fact that not every first marriage has a kol. So meaning, the majority of marriages are first marriages that have a kol. The miut are first marriages that don't have a kol. And what? Second or third marriages, or whatever. Nice. I'm going to use second. Second marriages that don't have a kol as well. Therefore, I will say what happens. Vizu hoil ve'in la kol, isra la ruba. So I will say, in this case over here, this is why the Gemara says like this. So let's analyze this. So it says the Gemara, in this case, where the woman is claiming that she is owed a ksuba of 200 zuz. So I will say, if she just shows up, rove and claims 200 zuz because it was her first marriage, will rove by itself work? And the answer is no. Why? Why, Rabbi Elazar? Because her rove is undermined or compromised by the lack of kol surrounding her wedding. And that's why the Brisa says the only way for her to collect her ksuba of 200 zuz is how? Is how? Is if she furnishes Aidim. Only if she brings Eidos. Aye, but one second. Why aren't the Aidim, why isn't the Eidos Sheker? After all, how could they be correct? If they're really correct, there'd be a call revolving around her wedding. And what's the answer? Because there's a miut of first-time marriages that don't have a call as well. So I will say, so bottom line, the Gemara says over here, as much as she could claim call, rove, her robe is undermined by the lack of kol, and therefore the only way for her to truly collect 200 zuz is how? To produce witnesses, ultimately again, that it was a first-time marriage. The witnesses are not undermined by the lack of kol, because lemaisa again, there's a miut of first-time marriages that don't have a kol as well. Incredible. So says the Gemara. Next, Tashma. So we'll say, all we're trying to figure out over here is, who's correct, Rav or Shmuel? Well, let's do one more case. Tashma. Hamocher avlachem rabbi. We'll say, this is another great case. I sell a slave to my friend. I sell an Eved to Reuven. V'nimsa ganav akob yustus. And it turns out that what? That the slave is a thief. or a Kobi Yosef. We'll say Kobi Yosef is a kidnapper. A kidnapper. In other words, he is a kidnapper. Not that he's kidnapped. He's a thief or he's a kidnapper. Which we'll say are both forms of theft. So we'll say, so Reuven can't claim Mekachtos. It's pretty amazing, right? So Reuven can't come back to me and claim this is a fraudulent sale. Had I known that he was a thief or a kidnapper, I would have never bought him. Rather, we'll say the sale stands. List him as Zuya Muchtav Lamalchus. But if it turns out that's what Rabbi say, the Eved that I sold him is an armed robber, or Rabbi say is someone ultimately again who has been condemned by the king to die, Omer lo hare shalcha lefanecha. Then Rabbi say Reuven has the right to claim mekachtos. He has the right to say, take back your Eved and give me back my money. Says the Gemara, Reisha, my taima, top of Tzadik Gimel. So Rabbi say, so why is it in the Reisha? So I don't understand. If I sold the Eved to Reuven, and it turns out that what? That the Eved is a thief or a kidnapper. So there is no mekachtos, right? Why is there no mekachtos? My taima, lav mishum diruba hachi isnu. Now, we're talking about Eved Kanani over here. So why? So meaning, why does the sale stand? It must be because why, Rabosai? Because we assume that the majority of avodim are what? Are thieves. Are thieves. So therefore, again, we have a rove. So at the end of the day, again, I could say back to Reuven, I don't understand, what are you coming back to me for? Everyone knows the rove of Avadim are thieves. Therefore, by definition, you have no right to go ahead and claim Mechachtos. Look at the Rashbam, Lab Mishum Deruba, he says, Abdi Hachi, Isnu Ganam, Bekobi Yustim, this is it. Uladas Ken Kira Alakev. What did you think? You thought you were buying one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim? I don't understand. You're buying an Eved Kanani. Avodim Avos are known for two things. They're known to be thieves and they're known to be immoral. This is who they are. You're not buying a Tzadik in residence. You're buying an Eved. You're buying a worker. So the Maaseh, you have no claim of Mekachtos against me. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that ultimately, again, Rov, like Rav wanted to say, can be a valid mechanism for claiming Mekachtos or not claiming Mekachtos. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not the case here. Lo, kula hachi isnu. To which the Gemara says, no, this case is different, and I'll tell you why. This is not a case of Rov, Rabosai. This is not a case of Rov. Rather, what? It's not Rov Avodim are thieves. But rather, the Gemara makes a very dramatic statement, which is, all Avodim are thieves. Take a look at the Rashbam. Lo kulu hachi isnu ganovim. Ukiman da omer le mocher behedja dummy shariodea lo keach shu ganov. To which the Gemara makes a dramatic statement. This is not a case of Rov. This is a case of all avadim are ganovim. All avadim are thieves. Therefore, there's not a reliance on the mechanism of rov. Now, we'll say, now what does this mean? Every single eved is a thief. So, we'll say, remember, it doesn't have to mean every single eved. What it means is that it's not even a sizable miut that are not ganovim. What it means is that there's such an overwhelming majority of avadim who are ganovim, that lemaisa, again, it's as if the miut doesn't even exist. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today, but just so you understand where we are leaving off. We're leaving off in the midst of really what is a riveting machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, because I will say, you understand that lemaisa, again, at the end of the day, this machlokes has such contemporary applications to all different types of sales. Rav saying that when a sale takes place and there are no stated intentions of the purchaser, and we don't know why the purchaser is purchasing the item, Rav says, what do? We go after the rove. We look at the rove. What do the rove of people who are purchasing this item use it from? And that rove creates the framework for the sale. Shmuel says no. Then the burden is upon the purchaser to make his intentions known. And if he does not make his intentions known, if he wants to go ahead, unless it's something egregious, if he wants to void the sale, the burden of proof is upon the purchaser. Why? Because the seller already has the money. Hamotzi mechaveira alav haraya. The burden of proof is upon the purchaser, ultimately, again, to prove that he was defrauded. So I'll stop over here. We'll emerge some reach resolution on this machlokes and Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Sorry. How does one...